Safety First, TÜV Süd's podcast on cybersecurity and more.
Which cybersecurity trends will be important in the year 2023 and beyond? Which developments should we watch and be aware of? That's what we are discussing today with Sudhir Etiraj. He is Global Head of the Cybersecurity Office at TÜV Süd. Welcome to a new episode of Safety First, TÜV Süd's podcast on cybersecurity and more. I'm Sabine Krümer from TÜV Süd Communications. Hi Sudhir and welcome.
Thank you Sabine for the invitation and look forward to the podcast.
We live in crisis-dominated times. After the challenges of the pandemic, the Russian war of aggression on Ukraine is also influencing the IT security situation. Ransomware and phishing attacks continue to increase, and insufficient product quality of IT and software products is also problematic. Sudhir, if you take a look at cyber trends in 2023, what developments are important here?
So this is getting more and more important. And we do see that in the several risk reports and the different risk barometers that we see from industry studies and also from different governmental reports, that cyber risk is ever growing and is becoming the top risk to be considered. And right now, we are just in this pandemic situation and we are getting to hopefully the close of the pandemic situation. But there is also a war. And this means uncertainty also from an economical situation and also from a cyber perspective. It means there needs to be an increased amount of defense for large companies, but also smaller companies who make a good part of the value chain of different economies. And what we also see is that there is a large impact also on these small and medium scale enterprises. They have lesser and lesser budget for cybersecurity services, also in general to protect their IT infrastructure and also their manufacturing infrastructure against cyber attacks. So there is a search for more cost-effective services and to see where it actually pains and to invest money in those areas. So what do I mean with that? We are facing a situation where gas prices are increasing. We are facing a situation where there's labor shortage. There's also certain regions that are not able to deliver because of shortage of suppliers and supply chain issues with regards to logistics. So cybersecurity is one of the many problems that companies face, small and large. So that means a lot of discussion goes on about pricing and about uncertainty and about how things will look like in the next quarter and the next years to come. That means people are looking to invest and to put money where the actual problem is. So people are looking for concrete risk assessment reports. And based on those risk assessment reports, the investments and how they budget for cybersecurity has also changed. So the trend that we see is people are looking to implement cybersecurity solutions. It doesn't mean that they are moving away from cybersecurity or not doing it at all, especially as mentioned before, all this uncertainty means also to protect our intellectual information, to protect our infrastructure, to make sure that the operations are not going down and that companies do not have reputational damage due to a cyber attack. So people would want or already want to implement cybersecurity services. But it's now the question of having cost-effective and doing it as required and what's absolutely necessary.
Does this also have an impact on supply chain security?
Absolutely. So as mentioned before, you have these larger companies, but also small and medium-scale enterprises, which form a large part of our global supply and value chains. And we are now having different regulations in terms of how to manage suppliers. For example, the procurement teams who are typically in contact with the supply chain and the individual suppliers of different companies, they have framework agreement usually, which includes a lot of terms and conditions. And cybersecurity is becoming an integral part of these agreements between large companies and their suppliers. And as mentioned before, cybersecurity is one of the criteria. There's also sustainability. There's also the other areas of quality management. And cybersecurity is becoming, let's say, a default part of the discussions with the suppliers. So this has an impact on the supply chain. They would like to implement it and they are implementing it. However, the challenges are quite large, and there needs to be much more harmonized way on how supply chain requirements are put in together, and how do we verify if the supplier, especially the high and medium critical suppliers, have implemented the supply chain and can show a proof of conformity to the supply chain requirements. So in general, supply chain affected, yes. And these are companies that are particularly vulnerable, because if an attacker would like to attack a large enterprise or a large corporation, they would typically not just look at the large corporation, but also look at their suppliers and supply chain to see where the most vulnerable parts are and go via the supply chain to attack the large company or their product in general.
But aren't the suppliers struggling with different standards right now? And what could be a solution to that?
You're right. So there is different standards. Different industries promote their own set of requirements. And we have upcoming laws as well that also talk about supply chain in a way. And the possible solution could be to have harmonized set of requirements across industries, where companies, typically large enterprises, could align on a certain way on how they would like to see supply chain security being implemented within the organizations. Of course, there will be sector-specific requirements and how each organization in each sector measures risk in their supply chain. So what one supplier could deliver for a large corporation might be less risky in comparison to the same product or same component being delivered to another large corporation, which might take this component or service that is being delivered as a high-risk service or component. So it depends on the risk levels of this industry. But nevertheless, the minimum level of security guidelines and requirements that need to be implemented in the supply chain could be much more cross-sectoral and much more from a global perspective, because all these suppliers and big companies that we're talking about have their headquarters in one location but do operate in multiple locations. So it gets important for a harmonized set of requirements, and I would like to stress on the term harmonized here, either from the industry itself, or typically the best case scenario would be that the industry and the regulators harmonize in a way that we would get one set of requirements, or probably one set of requirements that would be the baseline, and then you could expand further on other requirements that might be required for the supply chain in those sectors or in those specific regions. This would make the life of the supplier as well easier, because it would be easier to comply to these single set of requirements rather than multiple requirements which might sometimes contradict each other. So there needs to be one baseline set of requirements. And I can give you one example. And this is something we do as well as TÜV SÜD quite actively. So we are part of the Charter of Trust initiative, where there is a dedicated task force on the topic of supply chain security. And there we've put exactly this point of having a cross-sectoral global set of baseline requirements for the supply chain, which is going into the supplier contracts of the member companies of Charter of Trust, which is then a global industry initiative with 18 different companies across different sectors and located in all parts of the world. And there is one set of baseline requirements that the Charter of Trust proposes and is also being communicated to the political stakeholders. So we would like to see that, or more of such initiatives, come into force and come into play, where there is an active exchange between the political stakeholders and the large corporations, which include a lot of cross-sectoral ideas as well, to see how a common set of baselines could be implemented for a supply chain.
Now, in the face of growing cyber threats, what is being done in the area of regulation and legislation?
There is a lot going on in the area of regulation, especially since the beginning of this year. And by end of last year, we did see multiple regions coming up with new directives, new cybersecurity strategies. We saw Singapore publishing their own master plan with regards to the OT, and also multiple other countries that have come forward. For example, in the US, President Joe Biden also unveiled the National Security Strategy in October 2022. And also there are discussions about several directives, like the pipeline directive. And there's also discussion about extension of the critical infrastructure protection requirements for the North American region, which has been existing since a long time in terms of protecting critical infrastructure. And now cybersecurity has become an integral part of the critical infrastructure protection regulations as well. And what do we also see? There is going to be an EU-wide legislation and on different digital elements and considering the whole life cycle of the different digital elements. And this is the EU Cyber Resilience Act. And we also have, just like the NERCSIP, the Critical Infrastructure Protection in North America, we have the other regulation in Europe, which is the Radio Equipment Directive, which has also existed for quite a while for all devices that are considered radio equipment. And now cybersecurity is becoming an integral part of this Radio Equipment Directive as well. And the trend that we see here is that since most of these regions and most of these different governments are coming up with new regulations and requirements for the market for cybersecurity, there is a call for harmonization once again. And what we do see is, for example, in the area of consumer IoT, there are different labeling schemes in Germany, in Finland, and in Singapore. And we just saw the announcement from the German BSI and the Singapore Cybersecurity Agency that they have announced mutual recognition of the labels issued in Singapore and in Germany for the different levels. And there is a specification of which level matches to which particular stage within the labeling scheme. But nevertheless, there is a concrete action proposed on this mutual recognition of these labels that people do not have to do the whole process once again. But if they are conformed to certain labeling scheme in one region, also means that the other region also recognizes it because the requirements tend to be similar or tend to be acceptable. This is what we could see or imply from this. And the other very important trend is we've been talking about regulations, we've been talking about what requirements the industry proposes and talking about implementing these regulations. All right, now this is about the concrete phase of implementation. So what we see is the example with medical device regulation. This is already in place, and medical device cybersecurity is a big topic right now. And the other areas that are going on is automotive, for example, which has come up with the new UNECU regulations for all car models or automotive models that need to be compliant to cybersecurity requirements. And we will see that in more and more sectors in the upcoming days. And this comes in with a concrete date and how they need to be done and so on and so forth. For example, I mentioned this Radio Equipment Directive, which is an extension of this existing Radio Equipment Directive with new cybersecurity requirements. And there is a proposal on this requirement, and people do know that this is coming. But when we do webinars and when we typically speak with customers, where we have, say, 100 customers in a typical webinar discussion, 25% of them have responded to our survey saying that they would like to have more support on what is coming and what needs to be done. So the trend right now is implementation and harmonized regulation. However, more clarity needs to be achieved, and more of our customers and more of our partners are looking to get this information as quickly as possible so that they can go on with their implementation journey. So this is what we see as a trend, that customers really require some kind of support on how these can be implemented, what is coming, what should I do, which products, which services, which organization, in which region is in scope and which is not in scope, and what needs to be done. And this is a constant discussion that we have with our customers and partners across the globe on different regulations.
The protection of critical infrastructures, for example, in the energy sector, as you just said, has remained in focus, and especially since the Russian invasion of Ukraine. What developments will be important in 2023 here?
So I can point out to the report of the German BSI, the cybersecurity agency in Germany, which has mentioned that there is an increased amount of threats, a newer type of malware that's being discovered in the environment here. And I could see similar reports in other regions as well. So critical infrastructure, as the name suggests, are critical. They are immensely important for mankind, for the society, like you mentioned, energy, like sources of water, sometimes waste management and healthcare sector and things like that. And these are essential services without which we could not imagine our lives to go in a normal way. So it is important to protect this infrastructure, including the operators of this infrastructure, the manufacturers, and also the whole supply chain of this infrastructure. And there are different regulations coming in this area. Nevertheless, since the first question and the first aspect that I mentioned also about this uncertainty, the different costs and so on and so forth, this should not be a discussion when it comes to critical infrastructure. And this is typically an area where We need to protect it, and there is no other way to go around it. So this is high risk area, and the critical infrastructure segment has always been in focus and will remain even more in focus in the upcoming years. So which means more concrete requirements as to how could operator of a critical infrastructure protect from a cyber attack? What are the requirements to protect them? Is there some kind of cyber resilience already in place? And what are the measures to increase the cyber resilience? But if a cyber attack happens, what needs to be done? This also needs to be clear. There needs to be a reporting process to a different entity. And is this within 24 hours? Is this within 72 hours? And these are things that the regulations are also concretely talking about. And this needs to be also communicated to the sectors, the critical infrastructure sectors itself. Yeah, it would be very good if, once again, this harmonization happens with different regions and even within the same region, if there are different regulations that have overlaps that talk about harmonization of such requirements, when incident reporting needs to happen, and what kind of policies and processes need to be in place in terms of critical infrastructure.
Even if technology and processes are implemented to ensure cybersecurity, the human factor is still a weak point. What are the trends in training?
So people do make the organization. And as we know, people as managers, as operators of critical systems, as users, and also as administrators in the area of information security, they need to have the latest trainings in cybersecurity and also keep updated in terms of skills and in terms of what is required in the area of cybersecurity so that they could fulfill their roles and uphold the highest critical security requirements that is required for their job, which means they also need to know what needs to be done in terms of preventing a cyber attack and also what needs to be done if there is a cyber attack, how to respond to a cyber attack and how to ensure cyber resilience in that area. So the trends that we see in this area is that there is a higher demand for stakeholder-based trainings. So earlier we saw that there was a demand for checklist-based trainings, there was a demand for awareness trainings and click-through and also kind of gamification areas. Where right now, there is a higher demand in terms of having trainings for specific stakeholders and especially for manager-based trainings, for salespeople, and also for operators on the shop floors and things like that. And people would like to see the content that is most relevant for them. And in this area, we also see that people are looking for different duration kind of courses. So the C-level managers do not have the time to sit in a classroom for 2 to 3 days in total and know everything and anything about cybersecurity. But they would like to know the most crucial aspects in cybersecurity. And for that, they say anywhere between 20 minutes and 2 hours is optimal. And there are different approaches in doing it, right? So with video nuggets, self-paced learnings, but also in terms of like a gamification with scenario-based trainings, these are things that are going on in the area of cybersecurity training. And apart from that, we do see that there is a new demand for creating new content and to keep the courses also up to date. And that is the trend that we see, that people are looking for more stakeholder-based trainings and more short and crisp information required for their role. They would definitely profit from going through this high level of horizontal awareness-based trainings, but they also need something more specific to their roles. And this doesn't always have to be a certification-based training, but more concrete content, what is relevant for their everyday job and everyday role.
Another question regarding AI. So AI is also becoming increasingly important in cybersecurity. And what trends can be observed here?
Yeah, I can only agree to that. So AI as a tool to ensure more cybersecurity, for example, AI algorithms that are being used within organizations to detect malware, to detect anomaly, for example, because if you manage typically a 10,000 employee or 25,000 employee company, if you would like to see if sometimes there is employee sabotage or issues like a disgruntled employee that is trying to steal information or employee data theft or so on and so forth, and not just employees, but if you have different assets and external access and so on and so forth, it'll be easier to monitor if there is a system looking at anomalies and saying, okay, there is an anomaly here. There's large amounts of data being taken at non-typical hour, and this needs to be an alarm signal. So AI as a tool has been always talked about and is being concretely implemented as well. And we spoke about different regulations in the past. And this is the other trend that we see in the AI area, where this algorithm needs to be secure in itself. So we typically talk about the trustworthiness of AI. How do I trust that the algorithm is not biased and it is having all the ethical values? And how do I know that the algorithm in itself does what it needs to do and that I can ensure trustworthiness in this whole system. And there are now concrete discussions on having a labeling scheme in AI. And this is a part of the discussion also within our Charter of Trust initiative, but also at the different regulatory committees. There is also discussion about the European Act on this topic. And then there are also organizations such as ISO that are talking about standards such as. So it is now going in the direction of not just implementing AI. Is it nice to have? Is it good to have? Does it cost money? But more, how do we implement it and how do we standardize the use of AI and also make sure that the element of trustworthiness is a part of this whole AI discussion in cybersecurity?
Concluding a look at the general threat situation, the BSI, which is the federal authority responsible for cybersecurity in Germany, states in its latest status report, the threat situation in cyberspace is higher than ever before. So what trends should be taken particularly seriously for 2023 and beyond?
So this is alarming as well to see that the threat situation in our cyberspace is higher than ever before. And many other reports have also said something similar. We also have seen the study from the Allianz Risk Barometer report that also listed cybersecurity as the top risks in the world that we live today. And this means more awareness and being more proactive. So there are different regulations coming into place, and these regulations are not just there for the sake of it, but it's more for the society to become more cyber resilient and digital resilient. So as companies, as organizations, and as individuals, as part of the society, to actively take part in shaping of these regulations, to also comment, to also be a part of the discussions as and when required in these regulatory topics, and to go proactively chasing for what needs to be done in cybersecurity in a more standardized way at a more global level. And the more the voices that we hear, especially from different segments of the society and also from the different sectors, then we have a better situation on how we can tackle these kinds of threats. The other thing is, as mentioned in the first point, so looking for cost-effective services and looking to optimize the budgets based on the threats. And this just showcases that cybersecurity threat is real and it is much more than ever before. So people need to also look at investment strategies that do not try to compromise on what they do in cybersecurity, especially in terms of managing threats, in terms of having a cyber risk management program, and especially going to your question before, is on investing in the right people and having the A team in place. So the cybersecurity aspect is not just, you know, having tools and having regulations and implementing them and saying I'm compliant. But there need to be people that know what they're doing and that know really on what is happening, especially to look beyond the standard set of policies and requirements to see how to respond to a cyber attack, but also to how to manage an incident, how to have critical protection measures in place, even though the regulation sometimes is not there in that area yet. And how do we increase the cyber readiness, so to say? And that is why it is important to look at those investment strategies from a much more holistic way, in a long-term strategy to avoid operational risks and to see cybersecurity, I would say, as a business opportunity in the market that would differentiate you from the other competitors. And that is something that people could do to manage the general threat situation. So investments optimized is fine, but not to reduce investments, but to put it in the critical areas where it's required because the threat is there, and also to make sure that we have proactive participation in these different standardization regulation topics, but also what needs to be done from an industry perspective where the sectors could get together and different stakeholders could have discussions on how people tackle cyber risks. So with collaboration, we can achieve more, and with active participation and active defense mechanisms, we would be able to tackle these cyber threats in a much more holistic way as a society.
And when we look at the software supply chain, because this is also very critical, as we have seen in the past, what can be done to manage the vulnerabilities?
This is very important. I think we could have a separate podcast on this topic itself. The software supply chain is very important. Software development typically that happened early 90s, 80s, and also early 2000s, didn't typically consider security as a part of the early process. So security typically came in the complete end of the cycle. So once the design, once the prototyping and everything is done, and security comes in and says what needs to be done to make sure that this is cyber resilient or cyber risk averse. But right now we're talking about having security by default in place. And you mentioned this, we saw early this year or end of last year, this whole Log4j discussions, and we will have many more of them because the software that was developed before are sometimes still in our ecosystems. And these softwares do get updated, they get patches, they get security patches and so on and so forth. But it is really important to see, and especially when it comes to software, there are multiple areas of development and it doesn't typically happen in-house. There is also external vendors that provide parts of the software or that support in the software development, which is also done in other regions and so on and so forth. And there needs to be a clear-cut guidelines on how to have a secure software development. So we call that secure software development lifecycle. And once again, in the Chart of Trust, we've published or we will publish in the upcoming months a step-by-step approach on how to securely develop software. So to have a secure development lifecycle and to taking this cross-industry approach and putting the different use cases together. And also to have specific mechanisms in place, like when you have different suppliers providing you software or developing parts of software for you, to make sure that they take cybersecurity seriously in their development practices, that there is a real physical separation of certain entities when there needs to be, that data is not transferred between different entities when they should not be, and having an identity and access management in place, who has access to this data, who has authorization to do what, and these all need to be in place. And this could be a part of a concrete framework that this could be a part of the supply chain itself when a large organization or a procuring company sends an order to the supplier to probably help with their software development. So software is a very important topic. Some of the people would call it a ticking time bomb. However, we need to work on this, and we would need to have concrete requirements also to manage software in our supply chain, to manage suppliers who are developing software, suppliers who are part of using different other third-party softwares. And this all needs to be also, once again, from a cross-industry perspective, and to make sure that we tackle these threats in this area of software supply chain and software development.
Thank you, Sudhir, for being our guest today and for the interesting discussion. Take care and stay safe.
Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
Safety First is TÜV Süd's podcast on cybersecurity and more. Audio production by Ikone Media.